Goedemorgen en heel hartelijk welkom bij Hour of Power op deze eerste Pinksterdag. Twee mooie dagen hoop ik voor iedereen. En wij gaan het hebben in Hour of Power over de betekenis van Pinksteren, uitstorting van de geest. Dat is een beetje een moeilijk begrip, maar in woord en muziek gaat het daarover in de Crystal Cathedral. Bobby Schuller interviewt Ed Arnold. Hij is een bekend televisiegezicht in Amerika. En ik interview weer Bobby Schuller. En dat hebben we gedaan tijdens zijn tournee door Nederland. En hij vertelt over zijn dromen. En over wat hij voor ogen heeft met de Crystal Cathedral. En hoe hij naar deze wereld kijkt. En later gaat het in zijn toespraak over Christ in You. Dat we mogen leven vanuit Christus. Veel muziek, mooie toespraken. Hour of Power op Eerste Pinksterdag.
Discover America's television church as the face and voice of positive Christianity to the world.
Good morning. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Would you turn around to those who are standing next to you? Greet them warmly and say, God loves you, and so do I. It's always a party here at the Crystal Cathedral. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for drawing us to this place of joy, hope, healing, and love. We are so grateful that Jesus built out of broken, hurting people a family who love one another, care for one another, lift each other up, and accomplish impossible things. And it's in the name of this Jesus we pray. Amen.
Hear these words from the book of Acts. And being assembled together with them, Jesus commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. May God add his blessing to this his holy word.
We are told in the Psalms 149 and 150 that we are to sing a new song unto the Lord. We are also told that we are to worship the Lord with stringed instruments and praise his name with dance. This morning we're going to feature Rebecca Lord, who will play the violin and she will dance with our anthem, There's a Sweet, Sweet Spirit in This Place. Rebecca earned her master's degree and her doctorate with me at UCLA in conducting, and you've seen her recently conducting the choir as an assistant conductor. Before that, she was in New York City as a professional singer, professional violinist, and dancer and actress. And so she'll be with us now on our anthem, There's a Sweet, Sweet Spirit in This Place. And we all know that is surely true.
Thank you very much. This morning, it's my real honor to welcome back a good friend of mine to the Hour of Power, Ed Arnold. Ed was one of the first members of the Hour of Power team. He's been the voice of the Hour of Power since he began in 1970. In addition to volunteering as the voice of the Hour of Power, Ed has also been a broadcaster in Los Angeles for 45 years. He was a sports anchor and a reporter on KABC and KTLA television for over 30 years, and for the past 13 years has been the managing editor and news anchor for PBS television station KOCE. One of the greatest moments came when he was awarded the Lifetime Achievement Award by the Radio Television News Association of Southern California. Would you please welcome to the Hour of Power my good friend, Ed Arnold. Ed, hi.
Oh, Bobby.
So you are so loved on both the television program and then also here at our local congregation. And a lot of people have been wondering and asking, where is Ed Arnold? Where have you been?
Goofing off.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah.
No, I was blessed with an opportunity to go to Cedars-Sinai Medical Center in Los Angeles, and a wonderful thoracic surgeon by the name of Danny Ramsey actually performed open-heart surgery on me. I had some issues with my aorta, and many people are aware I've had problems with my heart since a virus attacked it back in 2002. But this was a totally different issue that had come up, and then discovered it during the treatment of my atrial fib. And as it happened, they observed and decided they would go in. And to show you how wonderful our God is in so many ways, they felt that no one could do better at actually building an aorta in someone than God, of course.
Yeah.
So they didn't want to have to get rid of that. And they were able to save the aorta by grafting cow skin. And then while they were in there, they found that my valves were bad as well. So a little cow was used in that as well. And then the thing that I think surprised everybody, including my wife and I, was the fact that there was a vein inside my heart that would not have been detected, that was ready to burst, and it could have had a stroke at any time.
You're an incredibly positive person, even in times of, I mean, this must be very scary for you.
It is in many respects, but I know that God is on my side. Many years ago, I discovered that, and as people may not be aware, I started attending this church in 1961 when we were at the Arboretum. I was dating this incredibly beautiful co-ed at Santa Ana College. I was fresh out of the Marine Corps, less than a year. I was going to Santa Ana College, played football. And this homecoming queen, I just could not take my eyes off of her. And I was lucky enough to kind of break her down, and eventually she married me. But one thing she made very clear is that I had to go to church. And I had turned away from organized religion for reasons I don't want to get into, but it goes back to my youth. But I came with Dixie to a service in the fall of 1961. And this minister that was in the pulpit over at the Arboretum just blew me away. I was so touched by his message, your grandfather. And he's a man I love so much to this day.
And your wife, Dixie, who's been, of course, a huge support to you, is here. Dixie, would you mind standing up? I know everybody wants to see you. We can give you a hand and say hello. So, thank you, Dixie. So she brings you to this crazy pastor in the Arboretum, Robert Shuler, and he blows you away. What was it about what he said that blew you away? I mean, do you remember?
Yeah, it was the positive message. It was the fact that you can make things happen. And I think Mark 10:27 became one of my favorite verses in the scriptures. As a result of that, for with God all things are possible. And you know, he had the possibility to make his creed. He had these things that came to you, and he would say, you can do this. And I had been in my youth, the church that I attended, it was like, it just seemed it was always condemning you and talking about how bad you are. And here's a man that was talking from the pulpit of what you can do. And I enjoyed it. And plus, I enjoyed the music. Everything about it I enjoyed. And I started as a volunteer, and the first thing I did was helped him when we expanded the Arboretum to make room for additional people to come. And then I happened to be lucky enough to serve on the church board when we decided to make a lot of other expansions, and a lot of changes happened in this church.
So growing up, you were told a lot, like I think a lot of us were, that God hates you and God's angry at you and you're a bad person and all of these things. But that's not the message you got from Dr. Shuler. And how did that change the way you viewed God and practice your own faith? I mean, what kind of impact did that have on your life? Is that affecting the way you're responding even now with your surgery?
Oh, yeah, it is. And I think what helps as well is the fact that not only did I have a great minister But my wife, Dixie, is a professor. She's Dr. Dixie Arnold, Chair of Liberal Studies at Vanguard University, outside of being married to me, and she's accomplished so much, and her strength and her faith has helped me through the years as well. Yeah. But it was something that it seemed that I would come in, and if I had any kind of a challenge, it's like, wait, I can handle it. I can deal with it. And I went from being a disc jockey at a small FM radio station here in Newport Beach. I wound up making my television debut at KTLA. Actually, it was with KCET. I helped them do a fundraiser, and a gentleman that happened to be watching, that was a general manager of KTLA, a gentleman by the name of Doug Finley, got in touch with me and asked me if I would like to join KTLA. And I moved into television because of him. Still did some radio.
Yep.
And then I had a chance to replace a legend named Tom Harmon as a sportscaster. And then all of a sudden, they decided to change the way things operated at KTLA. And what was I going to do? I had faith something would happen. I wound up being asked to join ABC. And then when it came to a point in my life, I needed another change. KTLA returned into my life again. And at every step of the way, I knew that God had a path for me. And I didn't know that until I heard this wonderful young minister and was able to listen to him through the years and get the motivation from him, and it turned me to the Bible, and it really strengthened my faith, because I know that with God, all things are possible. I know that my love of Jesus, I love him so much, and I have no fear of what when the heart issues hit, absolutely no fear.
And I can hear it in even the way you tell your story, that both the way that your wife and this church affected your own worldview and the way you view God. I mean, you've had an amazing career. I think about what you've accomplished in your life. And there are young journalists and young men and women on the radio and television that would love to have the kind of experiences, meet the kind of people that you've met. And yet you say, what would you say to them?
I would say that all things are possible. If you believe, I mean, you must believe. And I talk about, when I speak to groups, I'll talk about a thing called the bare necessities: belief, attitude, respect, education. Belief is so important to me, because you've got to believe in yourself, but you must believe in God. Mm-hmm. If you don't, you're missing the boat. Look around you, for goodness sakes. And I talk about when you get into the A's, the attitude. You have to have a positive attitude, and that's something that your grandfather put across very strongly. You have to have a positive attitude. That's where the possibility thinking comes in. And you look at respect. He talked about respect that you have to have for everyone. And if you have that, and kids today are missing that, and education is not just formal education, but education in life, what you go through. Yeah. And I look back to me as a 14-year-old when I had an opportunity to start in broadcasting. If that wasn't God's plan, come on, how are you going to be a 14-year-old and have an opportunity to work at a radio station and deal with the likes of Elvis Presley and Johnny Cash when they were first starting out? And then you go on, you run into an obstacle. You get fired because you got too big for your britches, which happened to me. I was at my first year of college, and I did something stupid. I didn't take my responsibility and didn't respect my people, and I didn't show up for an assignment. I wound up getting fired, but I wound up going active duty in the Marine Corps, and that was another path that God had planned for me. And without that, I don't know where I'd be. For one thing, I wouldn't have met my wife, because I wouldn't have come out to California, wind up playing football, and get recruited to play at Santa Ana College.
Well, what an amazing career and life you've already been living. And we, of course, you've done incredible things for charity events and things like that. You know, as we begin to wind up, what would you say? Again, you have millions of people listening to you. Ed, what is your message to them?
My message is belief. You must believe in God. That's a starter. If you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the doors are going to open for you. Those doors are going to open, but it's up to you to go through them. And that's what people need to learn, because sometimes a door is closed and some people get very discouraged. Maybe there's a reason for that. And I've always felt that there is a reason. But the main thing to me is remember Jesus Christ.
It reminds me of the words my grandfather used to say: believe in the God who believes in you.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Thank you, Ed. We're so glad and so grateful for especially all the work you've done for this ministry. You've touched so many lives and helped so many people. And even now, and through your struggle, you're an encouragement to all of your friends, everyone here. And we're so grateful to have you in our lives. We love you very much.
Thank you.
We're so thankful that you came.
The Hour of Power stays on the air because people like you are willing to make monthly contributions, gifts that will keep this ministry alive. This ministry does not have some multi-millionaire giving billions of dollars to this program. It's because ordinary people like you, people like me, send in a check on a regular basis. So, will you do it? I mean, if you are blessed by this program, and more important, if you want to see this program bless other people, be a faithful giver. It's more blessed to give than to receive.
En gelukkig, Hour of Power vrienden, is er geen lege bank op dit moment. En we hopen dat u aan onze oproep gevolg geeft. Bobby Schuller was in ons land voor 3 toespraken in Alphen aan de Rijn, in Apeldoorn en in Stadskanaal. En het enthousiasme was groot. En ik vind het leuk om voor degenen die er niet bij konden zijn, om Bobby hier op de bank te interviewen. Bobby, good morning.
Hi, good morning, Jan.
So, how was it? How is it? How was it to be in Holland?
It was incredible. We've had such a great time. And people have been so warm, and the Dutch people have done everything right. I mean, I loved the music, particularly how much the Dutch people sing. It's so funny because in the States, you know, so many people don't like to sing sometimes, but the Dutch people, you can really tell they have a true joy and a love for the Lord.
People were excited to meet you in person and listen to you. En wij hebben een impressie gemaakt van een van de avonden. En dat was in Apeldoorn. En daar kunt u nu van genieten.
Maar we hebben een bepaalde impact op de levens van mensen.
En het is alleen daarbij, het is alles te blijven.
Thank you, everyone, for coming. And I hope that you leave this place feeling blessed and at peace in the presence of God. And now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift His countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
That was wonderful. And what people enjoyed during the evenings, that you talk to them in Dutch. You can speak Dutch.
I love to say, ik vind het fijn om hier te zijn. Or, God houdt van jou en wij ook. God loves you and so do I, our slogan from the church. So I have an ear for Dutch because I've been able to spend so much time with the Hour of Power here in the Netherlands. And then my grandparents speak in Dutch. It's a neat thing. So.
Three generations of Schulers in the Crystal Cathedral. Your grandfather, your father took the helmet and he said, those shoes are too big for me. And now you have taken the helmet.
Yeah.
What about your shoes?
Well, you know, my dad's message was walk in your own shoes. And people say that a lot. That is certainly something he always wanted me to do. And one of the differences between my dad and the way my grandfather was to him, I think my dad always felt a bit trained he always felt like, you know, when I'm done, son, you will be the next pastor of the Hour of Power. But my dad was never that way with me. He always said, do what you want to do, be who you want to be. And so coming into ministry for me has been a very intentional, deliberate choice, something I'm passionate about, something I love doing. And so my dad has always taught me to be my own man, to learn from mentors like my grandpa and my dad, but to still have my own message, and I certainly do.
What's your own message?
Well, my message, I think you find it perfectly in Matthew 11:28, when Jesus is talking to a number of broken and hurting people, people who've been, some of them hurt by religion, some have been hurt by their parents, some don't know God at all. And Jesus says to them, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give rest for your souls. For my burden is easy, my yoke is light. He tells them, take my yoke upon you, learn from me, and you will get renewal for your souls. I mean, that is the message that I have, is to become a follower of Christ and not to worry about so many of the things we do in life, but to just give those things to the Lord and be free to live a full and flourishing life.
You walk in the footsteps of Jesus. 2,000 years ago, he walked on this earth, only 12 disciples. Here you are, the same age of the Lord Jesus when he started his ministry. Yes. And now you spread that message that he said to only a few for many millions every Sunday. How does it feel? It must be incredible.
Yeah, it's an amazing experience. I mean, every single Sunday, there's Beethoven and music and lights and cameras, and we're going to millions of people around the world. It's not for me or even for how I feel, but it's 100% that people would be uplifted, encouraged. And that's what I'm trying to do. If you're asking what it means to walk in the footsteps of Jesus, that's what he did. He went right to people, right where they were, hurting and broken. And that's the great thing about television. You know, too often with our churches, we just want people to come into our church. They don't know when to stand, when to kneel, when to say certain things if they're not a believer, you know. But the TV allows you to go right into people's homes, and they can be watching in their pajamas with their pancakes and their cup of coffee. They don't feel threatened, and then they can hear this message.
The Hour of Power has many offices all over the world.
Yeah.
The Hour of Power has also an office in the Netherlands.
Yeah.
And although we go to an economic, very hard time, many of our donors said we can't afford it anymore because we're unemployed or we are losing part of our pension. Mm-hmm. What do you think of our office? You visited it?
Yeah, well, I mean, the Dutch office is incredible. The Dutch people do it right. And all of our offices all over the world are great, of course. I mean, we only have the best people working, but the Dutch office just goes that extra mile. They seem to do everything very well. Even this, the Dutch touch. What a nice addition that you always try and make Hour of Power a Dutch thing for Dutch people. And that's because of you and Louis and everyone else that are leading this ministry are doing such a great job to think about how do we make this just right for the Dutch people. And that's a great thing.
Yeah. You have a mission and we have a mission and we share the mission. And that's great. What makes Bobby Schuller happy?
First of all, happiness is a skill. And I believe that that skill is taught by Jesus. So for me, the happiest type of person is the person that has been a student to Christ and knows how to live life. Jesus teaches some things that the rest of the world doesn't teach. He teaches us, you don't have to worry. He teaches us, you don't have to be angry with your brother. He tells us, you can love your enemies. You don't have to do religious things to impress other people. You don't have to wear masks. You can live every day in the love of God. Those are the things that make me happy.
Bobby, without a dream, you're not much. If you're not Dutch, you're not much, but everybody has to dream his dreams. Yeah. What is your dream?
My dream is that Hour of Power can reach every country in the world, that we can be much bigger than we are now. And ultimately, my hope is that I'll be able to share my unique message with people all over the world. Again, television's incredible. I mean, if you think about it, not long ago in Costa Rica, and there's shanties and shacks, and people were poor, the dirt floors, and they had a TV.
Yeah.
I mean, TV is everywhere. And there's no reason why we can't be on that television. And that's my dream. I want us to be the biggest televised ministry in the world.
What a dream.
Yeah.
And you'll have to do it.
And I will.
And we stand behind you.
All right, thanks.
Okay. Because your Dutch heritage, you know, we had a queen. She's still alive, Queen Beatrice. We're very proud of her, but her son took the helmet. Mm-hmm. And only queens and kings look straight into the camera and address the nation. I give you the opportunity for the Hour of Power viewers. What would you say to them?
My message to the Dutch people is this. You live in a world that tells you all sorts of things that are not true. That you are what you do, or what you have, or what people say about you, but you're not. You're a child of God. And that is something that can never be taken from you. And if you know the fullness of the love of God, which is found in Christ Jesus, you don't have to worry, but you can be filled with the fullness of His joy and of the fullest, richest life possible. Don't worry. Trust in Him and follow the Lord, and you will live the most flourishing life that is available.
Today is the day of Pentecost. It's hard to understand, mm-hmm. but what is for you the meaning of Pentecost?
The meaning of Pentecost is that Jesus, who was just simply in His own body as a rabbi, a teacher, walking around, in Pentecost by the Holy Spirit, Jesus in a strange way becomes present in the church. That means that everywhere a Christian is, Christ is present also. Because the Holy Spirit is in me and the Holy Spirit is in you, a believer, when I say, Jan, I love you, brother, it's Bobby saying it to Jan. But Christ is also saying it too. Did you know that?
Yes.
I mean, when I say, Jan, I'm going to pray for you, it's also that Christ is praying for you. And that is the amazing thing about Pentecost, is that now Jesus went just from one being in one place at one time in Israel to being everywhere Christians are. That's why God says we're ambassadors of Christ. Everywhere we go, Christ is with us. So that when I hug Jan or I hug a friend or I encourage someone, Bobby's doing it, but Jesus is doing it too. When Jan encourages your neighbor, when Jan goes and works, it's Christ doing it also through you. You're not Jesus, but He's present in you, with you, everywhere you go. And that's a cool thing.
Great explanation of this day of Pentecost, a celebration, a Christian celebration in the Netherlands. I want to give you a gift.
Okay.
And, you know, it's available for Father's Day. This has been drawn by Edwin van Eyck, who has a great story. You're of the Hour of Power. And he's highly talented. And here you see the Good Shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I do not want. It is a limited edition. We have only 100 of these beautiful drawings. You got the first one.
Okay.
And it's a perfect gift for Father's Day. So every information is on our website. And if somebody wants to make your father happy,
yeah,
you know, you can obtain it. Okay. And maybe you give it to your father.
To your
grandfather. Give it.
Maybe I'll give it to
my grandfather. And I give another one to you.
Okay.
Yes? Because you're still in touch with your grandfather and your father. You drink coffee together.
Sure. Yeah.
Good.
Of course.
You never walk alone, eh?
Never.
Never?
Never. Not if you know the Lord.
Okay, good. Well, in the Christ Cathedral, and one of your favorite singers is standing by to sing that beautiful song.
Lord, your truth speaks just.
Wow, thank you, Yvette Lane and William Sovich on the piano, and of course the choir, the Crystal Cathedral Choir and Don Newman. You've encouraged us all with your music. What a blessing. Thank you again. Jesus told us that every day and every time we pray, we ought to say these words, on earth as it is in heaven. On earth as it is in heaven. And of course, Jesus himself seemed completely preoccupied by the way people behaved, loving one another with peace and joy and goodness. And he himself went around caring for those who were sick, hungry, hurting, forgotten, and outcast. And so Jesus' primary goal was to rescue these people. That's why Jesus never at any time made any human being sick, ever. He did not go around harming people to teach them a lesson. He did not go around correcting people with judgment and bitterness, but rather, he went and healed, loved, cared, preached, because Jesus' interest in coming to this world was not just to get us to escape the world, but to save this world. And so now the church, this is what the thesis of this message, God's people are functionally Jesus' body on earth. That's what Easter tells us. Many of us think that this life is just a test, and everything that happens in this world doesn't really matter. And that someday when we die, we will go to heaven, and that is what matters. And heaven does matter, and thank God that in heaven, Christ is there, and he will care for us and love us. And if you trust in him, you will be saved. That is an awesome part of his message. But that is, the way I just said that is not really the way things are. Prepare yourself for the cheesiest, a corniest metaphor you've ever heard, but it fits so perfectly. The universe is like a football game. It's like this. There is a game going on in the field. It goes on and it goes on, and there is a coach on the sidelines. And the stands and the sidelines are filled with people who are cheering and cheering for the game that is going on that field. From time to time, the players on that field need to step off the field, and they go to the coach, and he says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," and he holds them, and he sits them down with him, and someone takes their place. And that person who stepped off the field continues to cheer with the rest of the stadium, "We will win. We will win." And like the Super Bowl, in the end, this coach's team will win. And everyone in the stands and on the sidelines will rush onto the field and lift up that coach and celebrate the fact that they won. That field is where we are right now. And we are players in that game. And the game that we are playing, we did not start. It was begun ages before us. And it was played by our parents and our grandparents. And some of us who have lost those that we love, even now, stand in the bleachers and on the sideline, cheering for us and hoping that we will do the right thing. Because what I see in the fullness of Scripture is that God and Jesus is interested in this world that he made, this earth that the Lord made. He is interested in it, and he wants to save it, and he wants to redeem it. And the way he intends to redeem it is through your body. I know that's a strange way of saying it, but it's the only way to bring clarity. God wants this game played through your body. My thesis today is that if the Holy Spirit is in you, then Christ is with you. Wherever your body is, Christ is there too. And that is a huge responsibility. This was something that was understood for years by the church, a core doctrine of what we believe. And it's captured best in a poem by Teresa of Avila. "Christ has no body but yours.
no hands, no feet on earth, but yours. Yours are the eyes with which he looks compassion on this world. Christ has no body now on earth, but yours. This is what the church has believed for hundreds of years, that we are the body of Christ. There's a story in Acts chapter 3. It begins with a child. There's this child who is born lame. This poor child is born lame, and the religious people of his day mistakenly say, "You're born lame because your parents sinned. And so because you sinned, you're not allowed to enter the temple or the synagogue. You're not allowed to be married. You're not allowed to sing the Psalms. You're not allowed to study the Torah. You must beg." As a young child, this little boy was carried to a gate they called Beautiful, an entrance to the temple, the center of religious life. And he would sit there every single day asking people for money, hoping that that day he would be able to eat. But he can never enter that temple. And Jesus walks by this man and doesn't heal him, and goes right into the temple. Perhaps he never even looks at the man. Why didn't Jesus heal this man? In Acts chapter 3, we get the answer. Peter and John have just been filled with the Spirit of Christ. Jesus has been resurrected from the dead. He's ascended into heaven, and he has put his life, his fullness, his love, and his wisdom, and his power into the hearts of these men. And as they walk up to that temple, those men look at this man, this lame man who's been sitting there his whole life, looks at these men and he says, "Do you have any gold? Do you have any silver? Can you spare some change so I can eat today?" And these men say, "Silver and gold have I not, but this I do have. Rise up and walk." And they heal the man, and he stands up and for the first time enters the temple leaping with joy and celebration. You see, the reason Jesus didn't heal that man, because it was that man's destiny to be healed, not only by Jesus, but Peter too. You see, Jesus did heal that man with Peter. Jesus healed that man through Peter's body. And that's how God likes to do things. So every single person that knows Jesus and is filled with his Spirit, when you heal someone and pray for someone, Jesus is healing and praying that person. When you feed someone and love someone, Jesus is feeding and loving that person in partnership with you. You're doing it together. That's what the church is. You are Christ's body. That's why God doesn't appear in angels very often. He doesn't speak from the clouds very often, because he's got you. He's got you. So that when you, as a Christian, hug someone who is suffering, Jesus is hugging them too. Isn't that great? And this is what the church believes. That man experienced Jesus and his healing power through Peter's body. And Peter's body was sacred and holy and loved. And your body is sacred and holy and loved, no matter what condition it's in. The church, then, is a human body. It's the human body of Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, you see this come out through Paul's letter to the Corinthians. He says, "Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we are all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slaves or free, and we are all given the same Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but many." This is a lot of us think, well, this is just a metaphor, but any biblical scholar can tell you the early church did not just see this as a metaphor. They literally believed my body is meant to house Jesus' Spirit. Jesus is actually using my hands and my eyes to heal the world.
There was a great responsibility in the fact that the Spirit of Jesus was present in my body, not meaning that you are Jesus or I am Jesus, but that together, as a corporate entity, we are the presence of Jesus on earth. So what happens then is that Jesus, this one man who is simply preaching in Israel in this little part of a Roman province, a place that nobody cares about or thinks about or whatever, this guy who seemingly reaches a handful of people is actually the Son of God. And because he has given us the Spirit through the cross and the resurrection, now that man, if his Spirit is in you, wherever you go, he is there. So that Jesus is physically everywhere all over the world, imperfectly in your skin, but he is still there. And so your body then is sacred in this way because your body belongs to Jesus. Your body belongs to Jesus. And that's essentially what you did when you became a Christian. You gave your body to Jesus, or you should have. That's what it requires. It requires that you give everything. You know, that's the irony of the body. It's sacred, it's holy, it's beloved, and God loves your body, every part of it. But we tend to look at the warts and the wrinkles and the aches and the pains and the aging and the... You know, many of us, there's people right now that are watching on television who are dying. This may be the last worship service they ever see. There are people who cannot walk. And some of them really hate their bodies, but God doesn't hate your body. He loves it. And God didn't make you that way. And he doesn't want you to be that way. That's why Jesus didn't go around making people sick again. But Jesus loves your body. And so the irony of the body is, although it's sacred and it is sort of the vehicle by which the Spirit of Christ is brought around the world, we wrestle with things like disease and weakness, you know, hunger even, or just having a headache or being sleepy. These things sometimes cause us to not love our neighbors. But even when the body impedes us, we must remember that there is a hurting world that needs the Jesus that is in you. You are the only Jesus that some people can ever see. If this is your last day on earth, he wants to use you today to reach those around you who need Jesus. And I need Jesus. I need you to be Jesus in my life. I need you to pray for me and to be a friend and to be gracious and forgiving. All of us need the experience of the church, which is Christ's body, in our life. We need to know the loving kindness that is experienced through your body. And although you are imperfect, you're going to make all sorts of mistakes and there's going to be all sorts of problems, never forget, wherever you go, Jesus goes. And when you don't care for someone, and when you walk over and past the Samaritan to go on your merry way, you're telling the world Jesus is walking past you. When you say, I don't want to talk to you, you're saying, Jesus doesn't want to talk to you. When you're saying, I don't feel like loving you right now, you're saying, Jesus doesn't feel like loving you right now. But when someone is hurting or weak or hungry or suffering in your office or your neighbor or the person that's next to you, and you help that person and you love that person and you care for them, you are saying, Christ is with you. Christ is blessing you. Christ is praying for you. Christ loves you. And he does. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you in the name of Jesus, and we thank you for the resurrection. And we are praying, God, that you would teach us what it means to walk like you, Father. And Lord, I pray for every person that's listening who is sick, who is hurting, help them believe, Father. Help them to have faith. As Ed did when he was going through his trial, everyone who is sick, Lord, that they would believe in the God who believes in them. And they would get through these trials for the kingdom of God. Lord, we love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Create your God, create your God, create your God.
all of those of you who are watching on television, please write to us. Tell us your story. Tell us how we can pray for you. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on our website. And now for all of you, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift His countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Have a great week. I love you guys. See you.
Iedereen, heel hartelijk bedankt voor het kijken naar deze uitzending van Hour of Power op eerste Pinksterdag. En besef, ik weet niet hoe je in God gelooft en wat God voor jou betekent. Ik hoop heel, heel veel dat er meer is tussen hemel en aarde dan wij beseffen. En in de Bijbel staat, wie zoekt zal vinden. En ga op zoek en je vindt. Hour of Power hoopt er volgende week weer te zijn, dan met Carola Schouten. Zij is een bevlogen Tweede Kamerlid die opkomt voor degenen die onder druk staan. En juist in deze tijd waarin zoveel mensen het moeilijk hebben, hun baan verliezen, ondernemers die hun onderneming kwijtraken. Wat motiveert haar? En wat heeft ze zelf in haar leven meegemaakt waardoor ze zo'n bevlogenheid heeft? Volgende week Carola Schouten in Hour of Power. Ik wens iedereen hele fijne Pinksterdagen toe. Geniet ervan. Ga erop uit. En denk aan elkaar. Tot hopelijk volgende week bij Hour of Power. En denk nog even aan dit. U kunt contact met ons houden via onze website www.hourofpower.nl. Ik heb die prachtige pentekening laten zien van de Goede Herder. Een schitterend Vaderdaggeschenk. En veel meer inspirerende dingen op onze website. Vrienden, nogmaals, een hele fijne Pinksterdag.